Dear friends, so far we have studied the first four trumpets, and we must now turn to the fifth. So let me suggest we read this text from chapter 9 of the book of Revelation, as from verses 1 up to 12. Then the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fallen from heaven to the earth. To him was given the key to the bottomless pit, and he opened the bottomless pit, and smoke arose out of the pit like the smoke of a great furnace. So the sun and the air were darkened because of the smoke of the pit. Then out of the smoke locusts came upon the earth, and to them was given power, as the scorpions of the earth have power. They were commanded not to harm the grass of the earth or any green thing or any tree, but only those men who do not have the seal of God on their foreheads. And they were not given authority to kill them, but to torment them for 5 months. Their torment was like a torment of a scorpion when it strikes a man. In those days, men will seek death and will not find it. They will desire to die, and death will flee from them. The shape of the locusts was like horses prepared for battle. On their heads were crowns of something like gold, and their faces were like the faces of men. They had hair like women's hair, and their teeth were like lions' teeth. And they had breastplate like breastplate of iron. And the sound of their wings was like the sound of chariot with many horses running into battle. They had tails like scorpions, and there were stings in their tails. Their power was to hurt men 5 months, and they had as king over them the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name is in Hebrew Abaddon, but in Greek he has the name Apollyon. One woe is past. Behold, still two more woes are coming after these things. Indeed, it is a real woe. We see here an army of locusts, but before speaking about the locusts, I would like to look at the character, that star that fell from heaven, to whom is given the key of the bottomless pit. It is from there that the locusts will be coming out. Let's look at what is told. Like in the first four trumpets, we have a star that falls from heaven. But the context is completely different. In the first four trumpets, it was about ecological events. But here, this star has a personality. He is given a key, and he is going to release locusts. And he is even given a name at the end of the text in Hebrew Abaddon and in Greek Apollyon. Thus, that star is a person. So who is hiding before that star? This we shall discover, if it pleases you, through two texts, one in the Old Testament and one in the New. I invite you to read the first one in the book of Isaiah, chapter 14, verses 12 to 15. How you are fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, Son of the morning, how you are cut down to the ground, you who weaken the nations, for you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God, I will also sit on the mount of the congregation, on the farthest sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds, I will be like the Most High. Yet you shall be brought down to Sheol, to the lowest depths of the pit. This song addresses the king of Babylon. But very soon we realize that beyond the king of Babylon lies Satan, the enemy of old. He is presented to us as a star fallen from heaven. He had an extraordinary position. He was in fact the head of the angels, and he was called at that time Lucifer, the light bearer. But he fell. And we must admit that the book of Revelation is going to give us some details on this fall. Let's please read what happened to Satan in chapter 12 of Revelation from verse 7. And war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought with the dragon and his angels fought. But they didn't prevail. Nor was a place found for them in heaven any longer. So the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of all called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. We are given here some information, and by cross-checking the other elements, we then, without doubt, realize that Satan is indeed the one called the angel of the bottomless pit. We shall explain a little further what the bottomless pit is. After all, we know that Satan is a liar, but he is also destructive. Whether in Hebrew or in Greek, either in the Old Testament or in the New Testament, the two words that are given to us, Abaddon and Apollyon, both evoke destruction. Now, let's consider for a while what this bottomless pit could represent. To him was given the key of the bottomless pit. In the Gospel of Luke, we have a clue. Because Jesus himself faced demons, even a whole army of them. We find the story in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 8, from verse 27. The account begins in verse 26. Then they sailed to the country of the Gadarenes, which is opposite Galilee. And when he stepped out of the land, there met him a certain man from the city who had demons for a long time, and he wore no clothes, nor did he live in a house, but in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out, fell down before him, and with a loud voice said, What have I to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, do not torment me. The demons felt tormented. While they had tormented this man for years, this time they are those to be tormented. And of course, Jesus asks them to leave. A curious dialogue takes place between Jesus and these demons. The demons ask, "Do not send us into the abyss." Let's read the story as Luke relates it. For he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man, for it had often seized him, and he was kept under guard, bound with chains and shackles, and he broke the bonds and was driven by the demon into the wilderness. Jesus asked him, saying, What is your name? And he said, Legion, because many demons had entered him, and they begged him that he would not command them to go out into the abyss. As Jesus walks by the Lake of Galilee on the Jordanian side, he comes close to a herd of pigs. Obviously, pig being an unclean animal, it is expected that the local farmers do not raise them. But again, at that moment, we are not supposed to be in the land of Israel, even if these territories used to be part of it. The area is near the border, but still abroad. Therefore, people raise pigs. The demons will ask to enter the pigs, or rather, they are first begging not to go into the abyss. Let's read the dialogue. Luke 8:31-33. And they begged him that he would not command them to go out into the abyss. Now a herd of many swine was feeding there on the mountain. So they begged him that he would permit them to enter them. And he permitted them. Then the demons went out of the man and entered the swine, and the herd ran violently down the steep place into the lake and drowned. Curious dialogue, where Jesus seemingly accepts to play the game of the demons. And the demons are begging not to go into the abyss. What do they mean? In reality, if they lose their job, if I may say so, they try to find a solution. And they want to make one last feat. So they direct their attention towards the swine, enter them and hurl them down the steep into the lake. Has Jesus made a concession? I do not believe, because in reality, through the demons' request, he intends to give a lesson to the population around, showing them that the path which consists in raising pigs is certainly not the best. And without doubt, time could have been better spent on other things, even in animal rearing. Once the herd had hurled down into the lake, the herder's reaction does not take long to come. Let us read it. Luke 8:34-39. When those who fed them saw what had happened, they fled and told it in the city and in the country. Then they went out to see what had happened and came to Jesus and found the man from whom the demons had departed sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. They also, who had seen it, told them by what means he who had been demon-possessed was healed. Then the whole multitude of the surrounding region of the Gadarenes asked him to depart from them, for they were seized with great fear, and he got into the boat and returned. Now, the man from whom the demons had departed begged him that he might be with him. But Jesus sent him away, saying, "Return to your own house and tell what great things God has done for you." And he went his way and proclaimed throughout the whole city what great things Jesus had done for him. Jesus knows that he will not be able to come back to this place soon. And contrary to what he usually does when healing people, he asks this man, first of all, not to come with him, but instead to go around and spread out the good news. This whole story gives me a better understanding of what is the abyss. In this instance, the abyss is inactivity for the demons. Going into the abyss is to do nothing. The abyss is a place of nothingness. It is often associated with the grave. Perhaps we need to understand that demons can be chained by God. The proof is found in the book of Jude, chapter 1, verse 6, or Jude 6, since this book contains only one chapter. Jude tells us, "And the angels who did not keep their proper domain, but left their own abode, he has reserved in everlasting chains under darkness for the judgment of the great day." These angels who left their dwelling are evil angels, that is, demons. God keeps them chained. At the end of time, Satan will be given a key allowing him to release demons that were kept prisoners so far, prevented them from acting. Not only will he be given the key to the abyss, but the key to the pit of the abyss, that is, the deepest of the deep, the bottomless pit, meaning that the most evil demons one can imagine are located there. Actually, this is what we are witnessing here. This fifth trumpet is an attack of demons. Let me share with you one last text that will show what the abyss is. We find it in the book of Revelation, chapter 20. Let's read verses 1 to 3. "Then I saw an angel coming down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. He laid hold of the dragon, that serpent of old, who is the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. Then he cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal on him so that he should deceive the nations no more, till 1,000 years were finished. But after these things, he must be released for a while. Satan himself will ultimately be bound and will be bound by the circumstances because the result of his work is only void and death." We shall study this later. I would like to stress that these attacks of the demons are not just something that can befall us, leaving us powerless, impossible to intervene. Of course, Jesus protects his own. However, I would say that our attitude of mind and heart is a decisive factor in these circumstances. Let me share with you what James says in chapter 4, verse 7 of his book. "Therefore, submit to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you." The best way not to be attacked by demons is to submit to God, and he will stand as our protector. I have already told you that this enemy of old, Satan, was described at the end of the passage under two names, a Hebrew name and a Greek name. If we are given those names, it is probably that there are two entities that must be warned. And maybe we could see here the beginning of two peoples that may come from two distinct backgrounds, both representing the Lord. One, a people who would be closer to the Old Testament, to whom one speaks in Hebrew. Two, indeed, if persons of Jewish origin acknowledge Jesus, recognize their Lord, thus they belong to the new covenant. But unfortunately, many Christians, people of the new covenant, have abandoned a pillar of the Old Testament, that is the law. From the very moment they come back to the law, they can be witnesses for Jesus. Perhaps we may see here the origin of two peoples.
Peut-être faut-il voir là donc l'origine de deux populations.
I'd like to end on the concept of darkness found in this passage. Indeed, what comes out of the abyss before the locusts is darkness. Apparently, this darkness covers the entire earth. Indeed, we are in a spiritual realm. During the sounding of the fourth trumpet, we already saw darkness that darkened the sun, the moon, and the stars. However, I think we are presented here another kind of darkness. Is not the world's population in darkness concerning demons? We shall consider this matter soon. Hence, the importance of being clear about the state of the dead is imperative. Because very often, these demons will present themselves as spirits of the dead who send us messages, who call us. So we must be aware regarding this spiritual darkness, having a clear understanding about death. The dead are sleeping. If you think that the dead are speaking to you, that you are talking to the dead, do turn away from that thought, for never again will the dead have a part in anything that happens under the sun.